Were not 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today's liturgy reminds us of the wonderful plans that God has given to man with the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ. In the epistle, St. Paul gently reminds the Galatians, who wanted the Christians to observe the rituals of the Jews, that he guided them away from the old practices of recalling to their minds God's solemn promise to Abraham and his seed. This promise to Abraham came before the law by 430 years and was more important than the law, the Ten Commandments, which was given to Moses on Mount Sinai for the transgressions of the Jews. Here we see again, as we did last Sunday, the inadequacy of the Sinai law given by God to Moses to overcome the sinful transgressions of Israel. Only in the New Testament, through faith in Jesus Christ and baptism, have Christians been delivered from sin. And this is what was given to Abraham, the promise that his seed, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What does that mean? In thy seed, which means Christ. Christ is the promise of Abraham. In thy seed, a most important quote, my dear friends, and it could easily be passed over if you think about it. Genesis 22:18. In thy seed, the seed of Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, 430 years before Mount Sinai, Abraham was given the promise, in thy seed. And thy seed was Jesus Christ, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. 430 years later, we have Mount Sinai, where God gave the Jews the Ten Commandments, which could not prevent sin, but would remind them what the sins are. It could not prevent sin, but they gloried in it. And sadly so, when Jesus came, they did not recognize him, because they saw that no prophet was greater than Moses. So therefore, Jesus Christ was a prophet, but not greater than Moses. Moses, who gave us the law. But the law could not save them from sin. Only Jesus Christ, suffering and dying on the cross, could save them from sin. And that's why we have in Genesis, in thy seed shall all the nations of the world, of the earth, be blessed. So we are children of the promise, not of the law. St. Paul will declare the transient character of that legislation, the Ten Commandments, which came 430 years later after a promise which could not be changed. Neither was such legislation to continue when the time would come for that Son of Abraham to appear, from whom the world was waiting to receive the promised benediction. And my dear friends, this is why we're here today, because we're followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the law and to give us the grace so that we could overcome sin, and to give us the grace to have our sins forgiven. The law could not forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And that's why John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus Christ, he called out from across the Jordan, a beautiful statement when you think about it, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." My dear friends, we should be very grateful for Jesus Christ taking away our sins. Where would we be? Where would we be if we kept the burden of our sins on us for a lifetime? Sin upon sin upon sin. I hear confessions, and I tell you that sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the number of sins that some people commit. The burden of sin must be unbelievable. How can you live with yourself in your conscience? carrying upon yourself these sins. And this is why we need to go to confession often. And this is why we also need, my dear friends, to evangelize. Evangelize and tell people, only in the Catholic Church can you have your sins forgiven. Other churches don't believe in that, right? We know what Jesus says, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. So only with Jesus Christ, and not the law of Moses, not the Ten Commandments. That was given to us so that we would know what our sins would be. But it could not take away the sins. Only the Son of the promise. In thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. And we see this in the parable of the Good Samaritan, like we did see last week. The Good Samaritan is the only one who comes back to thank Jesus. He's the Good Samaritan, but he's not the same Good Samaritan of last week. The Good Samaritan of the parable takes care of the man who was waylaid by the robbers. And the priest and the Levite, both Jews, passed him by because they did not have the charity. The charity that comes from belief in Jesus Christ. And the same way today. The ten people were cured of the leprosy, and only the Samaritan, a non-Jew, came back to say thank you. The Jews did not. And why didn't they? Well, because they were proud. They thought that Moses was the only prophet, and here we have Jesus Christ who cures them of leprosy. And they don't come back and are not grateful to him. Of course, maybe they reasoned, why should we be grateful for him? He's not a prophet as great as our Moses. And so they passed him by, even though Jesus Christ forgave them of their leprosy, or should say, removed from their leprosy. And the same, the leprosy, of course, which is a symbol of our sins, the leprosy of sins on the soul. The same way we should be grateful to God, continually grateful for all the sins that he has forgiven us. And we think about our lives, and we think about all our sins, and we should be very, very grateful that Jesus Christ, through the administration of the sacrament of penance, I absolve you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, has forgiven us our sins. And we should always be grateful to that. So we're just like the nine Jews, in a way, who didn't come back and say thank you to God, if we don't continually say thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Because we know he nailed our sins to the cross and he suffered and died. Greater love than this no one has. Our sins were taken away by the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. The saints tell us that only one drop of Jesus' blood would be sufficient to take away our sins. But he wanted to show us how much he loved us. And we see this on the cross. And that's why we should meditate on the sorrowful mysteries, meditate on the stations, meditate on the cross continually, being grateful and thankful to God, just like the Samaritan in today's gospel. Thank you, came back praising God. And we see this in today's readings. Right? Don Garanger tells us about his faith firm and at the same time so simple, gave the God the glory which he looks for from his creatures. So this is what God wants from us. He give God the glory that he should get, the glory for taking away our sins, taking away the leprosy of our sins, just like the Samaritan gave glory to God for taking the leprosy away from him, the glory that he deserved because took away his leprosy, just like he takes away our sins. Don Garanger continues again with gratitude. Gratitude should have been uppermost in the heart of the Jews, of Judah, but pride took its place. He was so taken up with the honor that had been put on him that it made him lose all desire for the Messiah. He laid it down as a dogma that no divine intervention can ever equal that made on Sinai, Mount Sinai. that every future prophet, everyone sent by God, must be inferior to Moses, that all possible salvation is in the law, and that from it alone flows every grace. Nine have not even the remotest thought of coming to their deliverer to thank him. These nine are Jews. Jesus, to their minds, is a mere disciple of Moses, a bare instrument of favors, holding his commission from Sinai. And as soon as they have gone through the legal formality of their purification by going to the priest, they take it that all their obligations to God are paid. The Samaritan, the despised Gentile, whose sufferings have given him that humility which makes the sinner clear-sighted, is the only one who recognizes God by his divine works and gives him thanks for his favors. My dear friends, that's Don Prosper Gorenje. I read it for you because I thought it was important. He puts it so succinctly and so clearly that we see how the Jews were in error. And we see that throughout the whole Gospels. This is why they don't believe in him. This is why they crucify him, right? Crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. And they don't believe. And when Jesus cures the paralytic by saying, "Thy sins are forgiven," they cry out, "Who can forgive sins but only God?" And they can't see their own reasoning. If the man's paralysis has been cured, and the man who did it said, "Your sins are forgiven," ergo, that man has the power to forgive sins. Ergo, only God who can forgive sins. Therefore, that man, Jesus Christ, is God. But they can't see it. They're blind. In the same way with us. We have so much in our faith. We take so much for granted. We take the sacraments, the sacrament of penance, Holy Eucharist, and everything else for granted. And we're not grateful to God. And we should be grateful for all the things that he has done. And one final piece from Abbot Rupert on the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is related today because we have the Good Samaritan in the person of the Good Samaritan who comes back and thanks Jesus for forgiving him. Abbot Rupert tells us, Abbot Rupert bears in on the history of the Samaritan, whose name signifies keeper. It is our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the incarnation comes to the rescue of man, whom the old law was not able to keep from harm. And when Jesus leaves the world, he consigns the poor suffering to the care of the apostles and the apostolic men of the house of the church. Remember when the Samaritan goes, he leaves the man at the inn? Well, that inn is the church. Take care of him, and I'll pay you what is needed when I come back. Thus, the priest and the Levite of the parable are a figure of the law, and they're passing by the half-dead man, seeing him indeed, but without making any attempt to heal him, is expressive of what the law did. True, it did not go counter to God's promise, but itself could not justify man. That's what we're talking about today. The law, the Sinai, the Ten Commandments could not justify, could not make man holy. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of the promise that was given to Abraham. And in thy promise, all the nations shall glory. And so we glory today in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ and his church can we find salvation. Where else are we going to find salvation? Only in the Catholic Church. That's why the church teaches outside the church there is no salvation. Think about that. It sounds very triumphant in a way, and some people might say it's a little exaggeration, but think about it. Where else are you going to get your sins forgiven if not in the church? Where are you going to get the leprosy of sin taken away from you, like the leprosy of these 10 lepers? Where else are you going to receive the body and blood of Christ to get the grace you need to carry on? Think about what Jesus says in the scriptures. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I give is my flesh for the life of the world. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. Today we have the majority of Catholics don't believe that. That's why they don't come to Mass. We do know that 90% of the Catholics in England do not go to Mass on Sunday. They don't believe. Are they going to save their souls? No. Because Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. This is why we need to admonish the sinner and tell our children and our friends and our relatives to get back to the church, get back to Mass, get back to confession. It's no joke. Suppose you die. What's going to happen to you? With all those sins on your soul of missing Mass every Sunday, deliberately because you don't believe, you don't care, doesn't make any difference to you. All right, you have Moses or whatever. I don't know what you have, but you don't have Jesus Christ. All right? At least the Jews believed in Moses, but some people, I don't know what they believe in. They believe in nature, they believe in this, they believe in themselves. It's called idolatry. They worship themselves, and they don't want to hear anything from anybody. So, my dear friends, as true believers and children of Our Lady, by the way, today is her birthday, the birth of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pray her Holy Rosary and look to her as our one hope in these times. That's what Fatima is all about. She said, pray and sacrifice, for many souls will go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices for them. Pray and sacrifice for the many souls that you know who are not practicing their Catholic faith, that they will repent and come back to God and believe and come back and give glory. Give glory to God and thanks to God for dying on the cross so that he doesn't die in vain for these people. That's the one pain that Jesus, I'm sure, had in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he saw that all his sufferings would be in vain, would be worthless for the many people who didn't care. They're like the lepers who can't even come back and give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Because you died on the cross, I will obey your commandments. I will come and worship you every Sunday at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Because I believe you suffered and died for me to deliver me from my sins and to nourish me with your body and blood and save my soul. That's what we do when we come to Mass. That put it that simply. Thank the Lord. In fact, that's what the Eucharist means. Thanksgiving. Thank him for all the things that he has given for us and give him the glory that he deserves. The glory as of our Redeemer. The glory of the Son of God who became man and suffered and died for us. My dear friends, we got to think about these things, and we will think about them when we pray the rosary, because that's what the rosary is all about, the incarnation and our redemption with Jesus and Mary. May the Lord bless you.